Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. And we thank you that we have been washed by the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that we're not
thank
the same
you,
person that we were prior to you touching our hearts. And Lord, we give you thanks for that. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And now we pray and we ask for your anointing upon Pastor John as he brings forth your word here today. Bless it, Lord. Let it flow. Let it minister. Let it bring healing. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring life. Father, we give you thanks, and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week, if you were here, you remember we looked at the Easter story. And we saw how the resurrection of Jesus was the absolute final proof that Jesus had been speaking the truth. That everything he said was true, and especially about eternal life, because we literally saw, and all those people back at that time saw that he was resurrected from the dead. And it says in Romans 1:4 that Jesus, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. That was the proof. And then according to Hebrews 7:25, it says he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them or for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We know that this same amazing power that resurrected Jesus from the grave and transformed his dead body back to life, to eternal life, now is working inside of us. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells us that we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And we know it's true. We know it's true. We can look back, we can read our Bible, we can look at the history, and we can see the power of God at work and all the changed lives. We can look at the people that we know, at ourselves, and see how God has changed us. We know about the transforming power of God. But what I want to do today, though, is I want to take a step back in time and go back to that same Sunday, that first Sunday, a little bit after the resurrection. And there's a story in there about two followers of Christ, who decided to go on a road trip. They were walking away from town, and they left before they heard the rest of the story. They heard that Jesus had actually been resurrected. They heard the body was gone, but that's all. They had left Jerusalem, and they were on the way to Emmaus. I'm going to read here in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. It says, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' And they stood still and their faces were downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. And in addition to that, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. And they came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. But some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly. They were begging him, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. I love that part, man. That always grabs me every time I think of that. And then he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us and read and opened the scriptures to us?" And they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two of them told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. Every time I read that story, I've probably read it 100 times or more. I was reading it again last night. Honestly, I got all choked up. My eyes were watering. Just the power of that story when Jesus was right there with them. Those two men could have been any one of us. It could have been any one of us if we'd been alive at that time. I love the way that God's Word brings ordinary people into the story and into focus so we can see how God interacts with them. And get an idea of how he wants to interact with us. The first thing we see is that they were talking, as they were walking along the road, they were talking about the things of God. That's a good idea. Deuteronomy 6:7 tells us exactly that, to talk about the things of God when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. This is our common bond. This is why we're here today. This is why we can relate to one another, why we can actually love one another. And this should excite us, the faith that we have. If we get together as Christians, but we never talk about Christ, something's wrong. And not only is something wrong, but we're missing out on a tremendous blessing. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." But we got to gather in his name, not just to hang out, not just to watch a movie, not just to, you know, talk about, you know, sports and never even bring up the Lord, never even think about God. Not that every time we get together, we have to sit there and have a Bible study. That's not what I mean at all. We can get out and fellowship and have fun, but shouldn't some of the times we get together, if we're Christians, shouldn't some of those times, shouldn't we be talking about the Lord? Shouldn't we be discussing the very thing that brings us together? Luke 24:15 said, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. What a privilege to have the risen Christ come and spend the afternoon with you. Oh man, wouldn't that have been nice? Out for a walk. Along comes Jesus. They must have been really important people. One of them was called Cleopas, but you know what? We never heard from him again. We don't know anything about him. And the other one, we never even got his name, just another guy. Because God is no respecter of persons. There isn't one person in here right now that Jesus wouldn't like to come and spend the afternoon with you. Seriously. Just like he spent that time with them. Why? Because that's where their focus was. That's what they were thinking about. They were all concerned about it. And Jesus came. Where two or three are gathered in my name. And even when we're alone and we're praying, Jesus wants to come and spend time with us. God's no respecter of persons. The bigger problem is that we just don't even realize that God's right there with us already. We just sort of ignore the whole spiritual side of life and we just get too much into the here and now. How could it be that Jesus was walking with two of his followers, two people that knew all about him, probably sat right at his feet during his teaching, and they didn't even recognize him? Mark 16:12 says, "Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country." Somehow he looked different. Well, he was obviously different than what he looked like on the cross. Everybody saw him there. He was beaten to a pulp. He was shredded. He was almost unrecognizable. And now he's been resurrected. He has his resurrected, imperishable body. So even though he's the same, he's different. And remember, the same thing happened to Mary Magdalene. In John 20:14, it says this: Mary saw Jesus standing there, Mary Magdalene, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener. Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was the gardener, taking care of the tomb in the garden there. She said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Here's another one that hits me. When Jesus just says, "Mary," and as soon as he said that, as soon as he mentioned her name, immediately she knew it was Jesus. She was filled with joy. She was filled with amazement and wonder. How could this be? How many times have we not recognized Jesus when he was right there by us? When he was right there during those times of trouble when we thought we were all alone. Like that little poem, Footsteps. How come I only saw one set of footprints? If you've read the little poem, it goes on to say that those were the times when I carried you through your troubles. Didn't Jesus say he would never leave us or forsake us? I will be with you to the end of days. Another reason they didn't recognize Jesus was because they weren't expecting him. Of course they weren't. Did you ever get a phone call from somebody, you know, that you haven't maybe talked to in a while, and it's totally out of place? Like, say you're at work, and all of a sudden you get a phone call from somebody who is actually a friend of yours, but because it's in a totally different kind of situation, it's like, who is this? And they don't say their name. They just start talking. And finally they say something that it connects. And you go, oh, you know, it's you. I didn't recognize your voice. I've done that. Haven't you all done that? Well, these guys, they thought Jesus was dead. Of course they did, because that's what they saw. There was no way that he would be walking with them on their journey. Why should he be there? Why would he be there? God wants us, though, to be an expectant people, always looking for God in every situation. I think of that a lot, like when something happens, we have to think like, okay, God, why is this happening? What could you be doing in this situation? How can you be somehow trying to speak to me or show me something or teach me something or, you know, in whatever way, how is your hand in this situation? So we should have this expectation. It's in Psalm 121, verse 21 and 2. It says, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God wants our eyes lifted up in every situation, expecting His help, expecting Him to reveal something to us, expecting to get blessed. The more we expect to get blessed, I guarantee you, the more you will be blessed. If you can't see it, if you can't look for it, you're probably not going to find it. It just made me think of something. I see my daughter Laura sitting back there. I remember way back when she was a little kid. I know she's going to remember this. We were in a grocery store one time, and we were looking for something, and we couldn't find it. It wasn't there on the shelf, and I wasn't going to give up. I just said, keep looking. Let's just keep looking. Let's look around the store. And we found it in some other place in the store. Just happened to be, whatever, I don't even remember what it was, but it was just there. And she's brought that up a few times to me over the years. You know, yeah, we just keep looking, right, Dad? Keep on looking, and it'll show up, right? And that's sort of how it is with God. We got to keep looking for God. When we're in that situation, we're in that trouble, where's God in this? What's God want me to do? How can He use me? Why am I here? What's His purpose? What's His plan? Where's my blessing? That doesn't mean we're always going to see God. Even though we're looking, sometimes we don't always see God, or sometimes maybe just not right away, because that's how God builds faith in us. By making the roots go down deep. When we don't get the rain right away, the roots go down deeper. But He's still there. He's still there. He's always there. So the first thing Jesus says is, hey, what are you guys talking about? What are you discussing? And they stop dead in their tracks. Did you ever have to make the phone calls to tell your relatives or to tell close friends that somebody close to you had just died? Terrible, isn't it? I still can think of when I called some of my relatives when my dad died. You know, you think you're fine. And then you start to tell them, and immediately you start crying. You can't, at least I do. It hits you. And so Jesus comes up and says, what are you talking about? And it says they stood there with their faces downcast. Talking about Jesus. We thought He was our Lord, but He's gone. The wounds were still fresh. The pain was still real. It was still fresh. It was 2 days before. And they say to Him, are you the only person around here who hasn't heard these things? Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been going on? And Jesus, pulling it out of them, says, what things? What things? He wants to draw them out, get them to express their feelings. Their sorrow, their hope, their discouragement, their disappointment. Jesus is a wonderful counselor. 11:28 of Matthew says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So Jesus, He always wants us to unload our burdens on Him. He wants to hear what's going on in our heart. And so these two men, they begin to share this whole range of emotions, all these things they've been thinking about, all these things they've been talking about, never even realizing that the one person that they were talking to, this very person, was the only one in the whole universe that could actually answer every one of their problems, every one of their questions. Take care of it all. So they told him, They told him about their love and their longing for Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And he's standing right there talking to them. Man, we miss him. We loved him. We thought he was going to be our Savior, and man, we're just so sad. We're just so disappointed, so discouraged. Man, I'm angry. Our supposed leaders, they had him killed. It's not fair. It's not right. We were looking for him to be our Savior, to be our King. Totally confused. What happened? We thought this was all coming together. The scriptures were going to be fulfilled. They were expecting this triumphant Savior who would march boldly into Jerusalem, and, you know, and he would sit up on the throne and he would defeat the Roman Empire and he would restore the Jewish nation. That's what they were hoping for. Instead, they saw a man that was unjustly accused, who offered no resistance, no explanation, who was beaten and tortured, who they saw naked and lifeless hanging up on a cross, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and now even his body's been taken away. Maybe somebody stole it. We don't know where it is. How could this have been our Messiah? They were confused. They were disappointed. God had failed them in their eyes. In their eyes. But did God actually fail them? No. You see, God's fulfillment was larger than even their wildest dreams. They hoped for too little. They hoped for too little. They wanted an earthly king, but God gave them a heavenly king. They wanted a king who would reign for a lifetime. God gave them a king who would reign for all eternity. They wanted a king to free them from the Roman Empire, but God gave them a king to free them from the empire of sin and death. Sometimes the hopes and the dreams that we have for ourselves, all of us, sometimes these hopes and dreams, that even ones we thought were from God, have to be given up. Why? Not because they're too big, but because they're too little. They're too little. God has greater plans for us than we could ever imagine. Sometimes we suffer great loss only to find that it just made the way for an even greater good. This happens if we have our expectations in God and we're looking for His hand. We're looking for His way, His plans, His blessing. When we limit God, we just make ourselves poor. God's not poor. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the world and everything in it. Everything is at His disposal. We think too small. Too many times we think too small. We can't believe the naysayers. Yesterday at our men's breakfast, Dan was talking about all the most successful people in the world. Most of them were sort of put down by the naysayers. People that say, no, you can't do that. You won't be able to do that. You can't do that. And many of the most successful people have lost, gained fortunes. And all along the way, they were told, no, you'll never do that. We can't trust in our own feelings of doubt and disillusionment and fear. Because they're always going to come in. The devil's going to come in, try to like spook you, try to like knock you down. We have to trust in God and believe that He has greater things in store for us. He wants us to enlarge the tents, the stakes of our tent. Take a bigger piece of land. So after they were done telling Jesus how God had let them down, here's what Jesus said. How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that God has spoken to us. You should have studied the Scriptures more thoroughly. And Jesus is probably thinking, you should have listened to me when I was talking to you. Because Jesus told him everything, remember? Over and over he told him how he had to die, how he would be raised again on the third day. Somehow they all kept missing it. We probably would have missed it too. But God didn't make a mistake. Jesus had to suffer and die. That was the plan. He had to suffer death so he could defeat death. He had to go meet death so he could defeat it and destroy it once and for all. So he tells him, you guys need to understand that everything went according to the plan. God's plans, not yours. In this world, we're going to suffer. Every one of us are going to suffer at different times in our life. Every one of us. And we can fight that suffering. We can try to reject it. We can blame God. We can run from it. We can hide. We can grow bitter and suffer even more. Or we can accept the fact that we're going through things like this. We can do it for Christ. We can look for His help. We can turn to Him. We can walk and stand and go through, persevere in His power, and then grow through it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." But he said, it's not strange, man. You're all going to go through it. "But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." Think about that. So just about the time they are reaching Emmaus, Jesus pretends like He's just going to keep walking on right down the road, continuing on His journey. And the men, these two men, they begin to urge Him strongly, it says. They were begging Him, "Please, come on, come on. Stay with us, man. We're really enjoying this time. We love being with you." They're all excited, man. This guy's telling us everything about the Scriptures. He's all this revelation's pouring. Can you imagine having Jesus explaining the Bible to you? Well, I wonder what that... You want to know what that means? I'll tell you what that means. You want to know what this means? I'll tell you what this means. So they say, come on, man. Spend some more time with us. So what does Jesus do? Of course. He spends the time with them. Revelations 3:20, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." God has given us the gift of free will. And when those situations arise, we can just let Jesus go on. Or we can invite Him in. See, we always have that choice. Throughout our days, throughout our weeks, throughout our months, all throughout our life, pretty much just ignore Jesus, let Him just be out there somewhere, or inviting Him in. Lord, come on in. Spend the time with me. Lord, help me to understand this. Lord, is there something You're trying to teach me? Lord, can I just unload on You for a while and tell You where I'm hurting? We should always be inviting Jesus into our lives on a daily basis. Because we have to cultivate that relationship to keep it fresh. And we have to continually learn to recognize His voice so that when He calls us up on the phone, we know who it is. So they went into the place where the men were, apparently they were staying. And Jesus, the invited guest, soon begins to serve them. Isn't that just like Jesus, the servant? He humbled himself to serve, to be obedient, to death even on the cross. And it says, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and bam, Jesus was gone. Whoa! Could you imagine being in that situation just like that? You're sitting there talking to this guy. Your hearts are exploding and pounding. He's explaining the scriptures to you. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my gosh, it's Jesus. And then he's gone. And you look at each other. What just happened? That would be a mind blower, wouldn't it? That'd be like the day the earth stood still. Their crucified Lord and Savior, they just realized He is alive. He actually is alive. He was right here with us. They were dumbfounded. They just couldn't believe it. I would love to have been there at that moment. That would have just been so neat to be able to see that. So they asked each other, it says, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and as He opened the scriptures to us? And all they could think of is, oh my God, it's true. It's real. This whole thing, everything He's been telling us, it's all true. We can live forever. He did come back from the dead. They couldn't kill Him. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. Whoa. And so here it is. It's late in the day. They've been walking all day. It's time to, they already told you, oh, it's getting late. You better stay with us. You don't want to go back outside. What do? They get up right away. Immediately, they get up and they head back to Jerusalem. They can't hold this in. So they go meet up with all the other apostles and everything. They got to tell everybody what happened to them. So they get back and they find out that others had also seen Jesus. And now they all know Jesus is alive. It's all real. He really is God in the flesh. He really is the Savior of mankind. Everything He said was true. So what does that teach us? One of the things that we need to see is that that road is our road. That's our life. That's our life. And so are we going to walk through life with our eyes closed, not even recognize when Jesus comes up and wants to be with us? Or will we have our eyes open, looking with expectation, ready to see that our Lord and Savior is right there for us? Are we going to ask Jesus to come with us? To invite Him into our heart, to spend time with us? Or are we going to let Him pass on by and just say, no, I can handle it. I'll do this myself. I got it. And create a mess. Will we examine and study God's Word and find the truth in the Scriptures? Find the answers to life in the Scriptures? Or will we walk in foolishness? Jesus, like what Jesus said, how foolish you are. How slow to understand the Scriptures. Are we going to walk in sorrow, in unbelief, in discouragement? Or are we going to be filled with the joy of the Lord that we find in the Holy Spirit? Will we let the Lord comfort us when we're broken down, when we're weary, when we're hurt, when we're discouraged? Or will we turn to the bottle or to drugs or to the lusts of the flesh, or all the other empty promises that promise rest for our souls, but never bring it. All who are weary, come to me. Don't go to that empty, phony, false promise. Will we settle for a little bit of hope and a little bit of life and a little bit of blessing? Or will we expect from God? And will we have great hope, great blessing, great expectations, great wonder and amazement of the things of God? Will we look for the great plans that He has in store for us? I think it all boils down to this. Will we walk with Jesus or won't we? Let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you're such a great God, such an amazing God, that you would speak to just ordinary people like us, that you would come into our lives and explain things to us, that you would teach us, that you would open our eyes and our ears, that you would bless us in so many ways, that you would rescue us from the darkness, from a life of hopelessness, that you would come in and offer us forgiveness and salvation. Lord, we have so much that you've given us. Lord, I pray that our eyes would be lifted up to the hills, that we would look with expectation to you, believing in you, recognizing that you're there for us. Lord, help us to have the big dreams, the big desires, the big hopes in you, Lord God. In you, not in our own flesh, not in the things of this world, not in things like just getting more money or more power, but more of you. More of you. Doing greater things for you. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every person in here right now, every person that hears this message, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord. Pour out your blessing, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for each person that is here. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that's here also, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen.